Hi there, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast, I Want to Be A, where I interview high flyers from all industries to find out their journey, how they came to do what they do, what it's like to do their job, and then their advice for listeners wanting to follow in their footsteps. In this series, we cover everything from traditional careers such as accountancy through to the less traditional careers and future industries such as digital marketing and digital publishing. Today, I'm delighted to have Ellie Hopley in the studio. Ellie is a personal trainer, but that's just one part of what she does. She had quite an extensive career in an office, in marketing and engineering, as she will explain. She then went on to become a personal trainer, but very quickly realised that there was so much more potential to influence people and to help them improve both their physical and their mental strength, health, confidence by not just focusing on the physical aspects of training, but also more the life coaching side. And so she has now gone on to run amazing events, body confidence events all over the country. I was actually lucky enough to be one of her speakers at one of them. And that's where I first met Ellie. But also she's involved in women's charities now. She has a particular niche working with mums and females. And she's got a number of celebrity clients as well. And she's very much about helping people become body confident, but not because of how they look, although that's a side impact of it, but more because they're strong, they're fit, they know their bodies can serve them, and they can fulfill their potential. So Ellie, thank you so much for joining us today.
That's okay.
And if we could start by just finding out a bit about your background, where you went to school and your journey really from sort of school and then through your early part of your career.
Okay, so I went to school in about four different places. I moved around a lot when I was younger. So I started off in Surrey, moved to Hertfordshire. I lived in Milton Keynes for a little while, and then North London. And then I moved over to Essex when I was about 18. So I've basically circled the M25.
And so, and this had a bit of an impact on your school life, all that moving about, didn't it?
Yeah. We moved around a lot because of my dad's job at the time. And so I found it quite hard to sort of settle in and find kind of my identity and my niche within sort of school life and get accepted, I suppose. And so I got quite badly bullied because I was always the new girl, and just found it really tough, to be quite honest. So,
and I think a lot of people do feel that. They may not realize it at the time, they think they're the only one, but a lot of people do feel a bit lost. And like you say, particularly if you're constantly starting new schools, it becomes exacerbated, then, doesn't it? Despite that, how did you get on with your actual school work?
It makes me sound like I've got a big head here, but I was always fairly intelligent. I did a lot of reading and writing when I was quite young. So I think I wrote my first book when I was about seven for some reason. I like writing and reading and listening to radio and sort of things like that, and reading lots of books. My mum and dad were quite kind of book heavy, so I used to get books for my birthday. And then I was quite academic at school, but I think just the bullying and things like that and trying to fit in, it kind of did impact my studies, although I did leave school kind of with good GCSEs in the end, but probably not as good as they could have been.
And you said you had some periods of time off school as well.
Yes, I did. I mean, because of the bullying and various sort of home issues, I did suffer with kind of depression and anxiety when I was at school. And I was off school for about 6 weeks at one point with depression, you know. So I was quite young when I sort of experienced that as well, and it wasn't really talked about then. So
no, and we'll carry on to talk about that a bit more as you progress as well. You left and you went on to college for a bit, didn't you? Tell us about that.
I left school when there were so many choices when I left school, so you know, and I think there are nowadays, and it's a very difficult time to know exactly what you want to do. I think it's quite rare to know, you know, exactly what you want to do when you're 16. I did love acting, and I kind of had enough of the academic stuff, and I decided that I wanted to do drama, so I did performing arts. However, the setup at college, you have to kind of motivate yourself, and again, I wasn't happy at home, and I think that just unsettled me, and I kind of just decided that I wanted to leave and just go into the world of work and earn some money and sort of gain some independence, I think, from home and school.
And so you did that at just 17, didn't you? You got your first job.
Yeah, I started working in a video production company up in Victoria, actually.
So that sounds very glamorous. So tell us about that.
It was, they used to make various sort of independent videos. They all sorts of different subjects. They worked with MTV and I think they did like videos on all different subjects like stamp collecting and things like that. Mm. So it was quite varied. Yeah. And I was a kind of like receptionist and organised meetings and travel and all sorts of those sort of things.
And then you went to do something similar for another larger firm?
Yes, I worked for, I left the video production company and I got a job working in an engineering firm, which was not really what I wanted to do. After the first couple of weeks, I wanted to leave because I was like, I don't really want to work in an office, but I think it was the people that made me stay, and I just really enjoyed kind of being bossy and and like organising everything, and I wanted to learn and I wanted to progress and I wanted to do well. So I wanted to be like as good as I could be at the job because I'm kind of a bit of a perfectionist. So
and you had many promotions during that
time because I made nuisance of myself.
Right.
So I started off as a team secretary, then I became a PA to one director, and then I became a PA to basically a whole management team. And then I got asked one day if I could use Quark, which was the design package at the time, because somebody hadn't come in and they needed to design something for a bid for a project. And I sort of went, I can do that, and I couldn't really, but I'd seen bits and pieces and I just kind of learnt on the job really, and ended up being working in the marketing team, being a business development coordinator, and then a business development manager, and then marketing manager as well. So
it's amazing really that, you know, despite sort of leaving fairly early, you said good GCSEs, but you know, you didn't go further than that academically, and yet, you know, you go into that company very, very young, and over a period, I think you said, of 8 years, you end up with four or five promotions. And I think that it's good to sort of dwell on the fact that if you are determined, if you put yourself forward, if you say you can do things when you can't, but then are prepared to put the hard work in the background, it's amazing how far that can propel you forward and get you the promotion. Because a lot of people don't get their promotions because they're not self-starters and they're not comfortable about sort of pushing themselves forward.
Yeah, I mean, it takes practice, I think, to be confident. But I'd say the biggest piece of advice I could give is just fake it till you make it, because I didn't know how to do half the things that I could do. But I thought the only way I'm going to do it is by learning and putting yourself out there.
So you had quite a lengthy sort of, let's say, office-based career. And before we sort of move on to the next stage where we talk about personal training, I just want to sort of touch on something that you did tell me off-air, and that was about sexual harassment, where you'd experienced that two or three times over your career. Now, I've also experienced it myself, and it's not something that we normally have spoken about in podcasts. And without wanting to, you know, make young females fearful about entering the workplace, or young guys feel defensive about it, I still think it's worth mentioning the fact that it does exist. And maybe, you know, if you feel able, just talking a little bit about your suggestions on how to deal with that, because it does still happen, unfortunately, much less so, I think, than when we were first joining the workplace, but it does still happen.
I think there are now, it's been recognised that it does happen. And I think when I was at work, it wasn't talked about as much. And I think there's been quite a lot of stuff in the press recently about it. And I don't want to generalise or anything and say that, you know, you're going to experience it because guys are, you know, just like that or anything like that. So that's not kind of what I want to say. But I think that it does happen, and that it is a shame that people feel that they can do that in the workplace, because I used to think that I was good at my job and I should be judged on those merits and not judged for how I look or, you know, anything like that. And it does go on, and I really think that people should kind of feel that they can talk about it and do something about it if someone is overstepping the line. General banter and kind of like, you know, the odd comment here and there, it's going to happen because, you know,
I think it's down to the individual in that case, what's acceptable and what's not, isn't it? And
if you find that someone's crossed your boundaries, then I definitely think that you should, you know, make them aware that what they've said has made you feel uncomfortable, and don't feel bad about doing that. Because I think otherwise as well, there's a danger of like becoming quite hard-nosed and unapproachable as a woman in the workplace, because you're kind of putting up your defences, which you don't want to do. You just want to set boundaries, I think, absolutely, is what I'm trying to say.
And I think the important thing is to mention it to the individual, exactly like you've said, first of all, to make it clear whatever they've said or done is unacceptable. And the minute, if that were to be repeated, to actually report that.
Yeah.
And not just leave and let them get away with it, because they will then do it to someone else.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking about that.
That's okay.
As we said, you had a very successful career office space because you have this ability to push yourself forward and to be brave and put yourself sort of out of your comfort zone, as it were. And then you had, you know, the other experience we talked about, which was, I guess, sowing seeds in you about confidence.
Yeah.
You then sort of went on to this next phase, which was all about sort of body confidence. So tell us about that, the whole personal training.
I started exercising after I had my son. I was quite young when I had him, and I fell in love with it straight away because of the feeling that it gave me. And I've always trained because of the feeling that it gives me, because of the feeling that I get from being able to lift a weight or run a certain time, or just the endorphins that you get from exercise and the way it makes your body feel, and also the mental kind of stress relief that it gives you. And being able to do those things and push your body physically does give you confidence. And that's kind of why I got into personal, well, it is why I got into personal training, because I wanted to share with other people what exercise did for me.
And when you started, it wasn't in a gym. I think it was from a DVD, wasn't it?
Yes. So I didn't want to, I didn't feel confident enough to go to the gym. So I started doing a DVD at home. I'd go for a run around the block in an old pair of trainers that I had. And I'd actually, I was so unfit at the time, I'd actually literally run around the block, which was probably about, I don't know, half a mile. And then I'd leave a water bottle on my doorstep, have a quick sip, and then if I felt fit enough, I'd do another circuit. And I just built it up gradually, because I think a lot of people, especially with running, they say, oh, I can't run. And I say, well, you can, but you just don't do it. So it's the same with a press-up. People go, I can't do a press-up. And I'm like, well, do you do press-ups? They're like, no. You know, it'd be the same if you wanted to learn the language.
Actually,
if you don't speak the language, you're not going to learn it.
Yeah, so it's definitely something, especially with running, I've experienced that myself, where it's amazing what the bodies are able to do. First, you run like a few steps, a minute, and then it might be 2 minutes and 3 minutes, and before you know it, you're able to run for 15 minutes.
Exactly. And if you tell yourself you can't do something, you won't be able to do it anyway. I had a girl doing squats a few months ago, and she got to the bottom of the squat and she went, I'm not mentally prepared for this. And I was like, well, you better get mentally prepared, because you've got to push it back up again and I'm not helping you. So
it's amazing what the body can do. So you, that led you to decide that you were interested in training as a personal trainer. So tell us about that.
I did a course. I was lucky enough to be able to not do an online course. So there are so many good online courses out there now, but I would recommend that if you're looking into doing it as a career, that you do something where you're actually going into a classroom or you're going into a gym and you're experiencing the training methods that you're learning about. So for example, like one time we learned about lactic acid and the build-up of lactic acid in the body. So they made, the trainers made us go and do like 100 burpees, and it was like, well, that's what lactic acid feels like. But I'd always suggest that when you're training somebody, if you're a personal trainer, that again, you do something that you know how it feels, so that you're, you know what it feels like to your client.
And you progressed, obviously, through the junior sort of ranks of being a personal trainer, but you also then had, you were saying that the money isn't particularly great when you're a new personal trainer. So you then,
I mean, it's like anything. You've always got to work your way up. You know, if you're a hairdresser, you're not going to earn great money when you first start. And if you're looking to get into personal training to make lots of money, it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort, and it's not going to happen overnight. So be prepared to like scrub treadmills, to, you know, change paper towels, to do all the sorts of stuff that you're going to do just to get your foot in the door and be in the gym and be around people. I'd advise someone that if they do want to get into it, maybe look at getting a part-time job in a gym as a receptionist or anything like that, just to get you in the gym environment, and then kind of build up your client base from that if you can. You know, after you finish your shift, maybe you want to train a couple of people, or, you know,
Yeah, it's a fantastic way of sort of transitioning from one career to that career, isn't it?
Yeah.
You then moved to become sort of totally independent, though, and set up your own business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when things sort of really took a different sort of direction for you.
Yeah, I mean, been through kind of like the ups and downs of like running your own business as well. And it's really very different to working for someone because you are responsible for your time. You're responsible for like... marketing yourself, you're responsible for managing everything, you know, day to day, and your reputation becomes really important as well, because a lot of people will recommend you. It's word of mouth with personal training. Like, you know, social media is great now. When I was first starting out, I didn't have social media really. Like, Facebook had only just kicked off. There was no Instagram really or anything like that. So we, you know, went back to the old school way of like leafleting at the station in the cold, or you know, people don't have to do that nowadays. It's like, you know, they're lucky, because I used to stand outside, you know, giving my leaflets, and then you'd get people saying, I don't need to go to the gym, what do you mean, you know. But I wouldn't take it back, because it made me kind of more determined to do it.
And where you are now is with a very established and actually quite well-known client base, haven't you?
I'm lucky enough, I've got my own business. I was in business for a while with my ex-partner, but I'm actually pleased, because he did the best thing he could have done, and we split up, and it was his choice. And at the time, obviously, you know, when you go through a breakup, it's a bit... But I'm actually glad that he did, because it pushed me to achieve, you know, everything that I've sort of achieved over the last couple of years, and it's all been my hard work.
Yeah.
And it is a really nice... feeling to know that you've kind of built up, you know, the client base that I have now, which I've got two or three celebrities that I'm training at the moment, which is great for me. They're just normal people at the end of the day, so I don't treat them any differently to any of my other clients. But it's nice that, you know, I get a little bit of an exposure, and I get the opportunity to do things that I maybe wouldn't have had the chance to do. So,
and your niche is very much now with females, although you do train men as well, but it
is I've got a single male client at the moment, but mostly it's women.
And what you were saying was that what you've seen with these women is a need not just to get physically fit, but also a desire to be more mentally fit and confident as well.
I think, again, nowadays people are starting to talk about mental health a lot more. And there is that link is now being made, which I'm so pleased about, the link between, you know, mental health and well-being and exercise. And people are starting to clock on that you've got to look after yourself. And it's more than just about how you look. It's about how you feel, and it's about what you can do, and it's about dealing with your stress. So a lot of the girls that come to me, they actually just come to me for an hour to get away from the family, or to just to have that me time, or... just to build up their strength and be able to lift a certain weight or run a certain time, just because it makes them feel good about themselves.
Tell us more about, you know, the whole body confidence aspect of the business.
So I've learned so much from personal training, and it's taught me so much about life and about people and about psychology and about how we're all the same, and we've all got the same issues and the same insecurities. I have actually started organising and working with a lady called Lindsay Reed. I met her through, I actually met her through Fern McCann, who I train. And Fern has done some promotional work for Stagecoach Bus Company, who are like one of the biggest operating bus companies in the country, and also in America and Europe. And I've actually been lucky enough to work with them as well. So I've devised and filmed and written an 8-week wellness plan for their staff, their bus staff. And I'm actually life coaching and wellness coaching 500 of their staff in a Manchester depot.
It's amazing.
Lindsay has become a really good friend of mine, and she was running these body confidence events, and basically bringing people together to talk about wellness, health, just feeling good about yourself, celebrating yourself, not comparing yourself to other people, like expo style speaker events where people can come together and just get uplifted and inspired, and just a feel good kind of a feel good day. So she invited me to speak at three of the events that she ran, a couple in Glasgow, one in Manchester, along with Fern and also Vicky Patterson. And then I suggested that we organise one in Essex, which happened at the end of last month. And it was amazing. It was just so nice. You were there.
Absolutely. It was great. Really
and we
good.
Just brought lots of like-minded people together to basically help inspire and educate and kind of make people feel good about themselves and come on the day and get as much information about that type of stuff as possible. Mm-hmm. So Lindsay and I are looking at pushing that forward next year, running a YouTube channel, getting a wider audience base and kind of reaching people that we want to reach, which are maybe are people that don't want to go to the gym and sitting at home, or they don't feel good about themselves. They're not going to want to come to an event, but they can watch us on YouTube. We're going to do lots of interviews with different types of people, rather like you do now.
So before we give, you know, some people that are listening and who are inspired some advice to follow in your footsteps, there's a couple of things I wanted to do. First thing is to talk about sort of maybe, I know you probably don't have a typical day, but the sorts of things you do on a day-to-day basis, how your day goes.
Okay.
But then secondly, you've got some really interesting methods of achieving what you want. It's linked to the law of attraction, it's linked to sort of writing down things. So I wanted to touch on that as well. So if we start first of all with the sorts of things that you do in a typical day, how your day runs.
I typically get up about 6 o'clock in the morning, sometimes earlier, it depends on when my first client is. I usually spend most of the morning in the gym with back-to-back clients from sort of 7:30 right through till lunchtime. And then I will train myself, then I'll go home and I'll do paperwork, emails. So I will run, I run a coaching Facebook group for the Stagecoach bus company, for example. I might have to write a blog for a website, which I've got to do this afternoon, or obviously like today I'm coming to speak on a podcast. And then in the evening, I try not to work every evening. I've actually got the luxury now of, I think when you start out when you're personal training, you have to do morning clients and evening clients and weekends. I mean, I do weekends as well, and virtually I work 7 days a week, so I never know what day of the week it is anyway.
Yeah, you're merging. You're one of these that's able to merge what you love. Yeah. It's not all work, is it?
But
really?
I do try and give myself the evenings, at least one evening a week, just to myself, just to unwind, spend time with my son.
And tell us a bit about the way that you sort of, you know, identify what it is that you want. And you were saying that most of your goals you've achieved already this year.
Mm.
What's your beliefs about that?
I really, really strongly believe, and I've learned so much about this the last sort of 3 or 4 years, in that you create your own reality. So you create your own reality by the energy that you give out to other people, because ultimately that's kind of what you're going to get back, and by the thoughts that you think and the feelings that you feel. So I try and do things that make me feel good. I try and think things that make me feel good. And I try and listen to my emotions. So if something makes me feel uncomfortable or I don't enjoy doing it, then I'll do the opposite or find something that does. And in terms of going after what I want, I believe, I identify what it is that I do want, because a lot of people don't know that. But it could be something simple. It doesn't have to be like a massive thing. And then I will write it down on a sheet of paper like it's already happened. So, for example, a couple of years ago, I was going through a breakup and I wanted to buy the house for my ex. My business wasn't doing that great, so I wanted my business to be doing better. And I've always wanted to be on TV, not because I want to be famous, but just because I want to talk about, you know, things that are important to me and make a difference to other people. So I wrote down a list. It said, I want to double the size of my business. I want to own my own house, pay all my own bills. I want to be on television, radio, write a book. But I didn't write it as I want. I wrote it as I have those things already. And 9 out of the 12 things that I wrote on that list have all happened in the last kind of like year or so. So I've acted as if I've already had them, practiced being grateful for what I have instead of focusing on what I don't have. So I always tell people to focus on what they have got and what they want, rather than always focusing on what they don't have and they don't want.
So people wanting to follow your footsteps, and that means sort of moving through a sort of a PT career, a personal training career, and then ultimately, you know, that can lead to a variety of different things as it has with you. How would you suggest that they start?
I would suggest they start by, if they don't already exercise, which would be hard if you were thinking about personal training, if you didn't kind of already do some form of exercise, find an exercise you love, try lots of different exercises. I mean, I've done martial arts, kickboxing, bodybuilding, CrossFit, running, athletics, like literally everything, because I want to experience, I wanted to experience as many different forms of training as I could, because if you don't, I mean, I've done Zumba as well, I was really bad at it. If you don't experience different types of training, then you're not going to be able to suggest to people what they might enjoy, because you've got to find what works for that person, what they enjoy as a client. I would also say to them to get to group exercise classes, meet people, go to the gym, make a nuisance of yourself, talk to people, train in the gym, let people see you training. If you're loving what you're doing, people will notice, they'll come over, they'll ask you questions. Just do your research, and if you really want to go after a career in personal training, it's an amazing job. I would recommend it to anyone.
And then once you know, people are sort of fully engaged in the whole exercise regime, however they've decided to do it, and whatever exercise it is, because you said, you know, find an exercise they like, then if they do want to be a personal trainer, they have to qualify.
Yeah.
So there's courses they need to take. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Just to start working in a gym, if you wanted to do it in a sort of transitional way, you could get a level 2 gym instructor qualification, which would be slightly cheaper and quicker to do, and then that would enable you to get that part-time job in the gym, and you might find that the gym actually would pay for you to do the next level up, which would be your level 3, your personal trainer. So that's kind of a route that you could go. And that will get you your foot in the door with a gym. Or if you just want to go straight for it and you've got the money to do it, then you can book yourself on a personal training course, level 3.
You've got options there, online or face-to-face.
There are loads of different, you know, there's loads of different payment plans and ways of doing it nowadays. A lot of the big companies like Premier Training and YMCA, and I mean, I did, like I said, I did like a face-to-face course, and that was an amazing thing to do. So if you can do that, great.
Yeah. And I think from what you were saying, you know, that some of these courses, they cost anything from about £700 to about £2,500. So they're not cheap, but you know, there are payment plans, things like that.
Yeah. And you've got to look at it as an investment. You know, anything that you wanted to learn is going to cost you money.
Yeah.
And if you really, really want to do it, then you can't do it without the qualification, because you need to be insured.
What I really wanted to do while you were here was just take advantage of your knowledge and ethos about sort of general body confidence. You said some really interesting things about how people will spend so much time on their car or their house and maybe not their body.
It still continues to amaze me, the amount of people, and you've only got to look as you walk down the street, that just take their body for granted. And I've done it before. You kind of, you know, might drink too much, might eat too much, might you know, not exercise, not drink enough water, not generally not take care of yourself, because 9 times out of 10 most people are running around and they're looking after other people and they're like, oh, I haven't got time to look after myself. If you don't put yourself first and make yourself the most important person in your life, you're not going to fulfill your potential, and you do only get one body. And to say that you haven't got time to look after it when you've got time to wax your car for 3 hours on a Sunday is, you know, which some people do, or they'll spend money on things that, you know, really, yeah, they're great to have, but unless you're taking care of your body, that's the most priceless thing you've got, and there isn't a shop where you can go and get spare parts, unfortunately.
Absolutely not. And finally, body confidence is not just about having abs or muscles, is
no.
it? It's so much more than that.
I always think that how you look is going to come and go. It's temporary. You know, we're not going to look 20 years old forever. I don't look 20 now, unfortunately.
You look great. But some of this is going to go on videos. So.
But I think that if you are confident in what your body can do, and you trust in your body, and you know you can run up the stairs, you know you can, you know, carry your shopping bags home, you've got confidence in your body and in your body and what it can do as a physical structure, and you've got confidence in your mental ability because you know you can go in a gym and smash a workout, and you've got, you know, that self-respect that you take care of yourself. And I think those are more important than just having abs and biceps, which are great, but you'll get those anyway if you just take care of yourself. So
yeah, absolutely. Ellie, that's been really, really inspiring, and I think you know, just really nicely summed up why I wanted to call this one I want to be I want to be a personal trainer, but I want to be strong, healthy, confident. I think you've really summed that up beautifully.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for that, and wishing you loads of luck in your
future
endeavours. If people do want to find you, where's the best place?
Probably on my Instagram. I've got so many different ways of contacting me. So it's at Ellie Hopley, HOPLEYPT, and that's probably the easiest way.
So Ellie, thank you very much indeed. I'm sure you'll hear from lots in the future, so stand by.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
If you enjoy this podcast and found it useful, you can get more of the same, no matter where you are in your career. If you're looking for your first job, there's my book, How to Get Your First Job and Build the Career You Want, available on Amazon. Or if you prefer face-to-face, my company Middleton Murray provides courses to prep you for your new career and then place you into a job. Alternatively, if you prefer online, try my online program, Your Body Means Business, which is more holistic and provides a complete blueprint on how to advance your career, whether you're employed or running your own business, by upgrading your physical and mental fitness and following a complete business blueprint guaranteed for success. That program, I think, is my best yet. So in summary, no matter where you are in your career, starting out, starting again, or just wanting more, we can help. Follow me on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, where I post daily at Angela Middleton. And subscribe to this channel, as well as my Limitless vlog on YouTube, where you'll see weekly vlogs full of hints and tips for enhanced careers performance. And share this with your friends as well, if you think it will help them. Thanks so much for listening.